Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Ann Bax. Hello, Ann.
Hello, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Ann is Chief Executive Officer of United Way. Is that the correct title, Ann?
It's president, but it really doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Ann's here to talk about United Way. So United Way of Central Missouri is in the middle of its fundraising campaign. So let's just kind of take a step back, and it's not like 2 weeks out of the year or a month out of the year, United Way is busy. It's a year-round commitment, multi-year commitment for that matter. But Ann, kind of walk us through the cycle of how this campaign came to be.
Sure. So we really start at the end of 2021. We put out an application to our 28 partner agencies, and they have to reapply each year. It's not just a rubber stamp once a United Way agency always, because we need to be sure we're accountable and transparent to our donors. So our agencies filled out the application. They were due in February. And then we have about almost 100 volunteers that participate in what we call fund allocation.
Okay.
And so our fund allocation process begins with those volunteers being broken into six panels. And those panels are assigned four or five agencies. And so those volunteers look at the applications that are really, they're very fiscally oriented, but it's more than that. It's really more of a governance type of a review. And it's really to help them with policies and help them with their board development, help them with back office type of functions and helping them to make sure that they're doing things smarter, not harder.
Mm-hmm.
Again, those volunteers are really diverse in every respect. Some people, those volunteers have been doing this for 20 plus years, and others, we always try to get at least one or two new people on each of those panels. So again, so it starts out with, they look at those applications, they make site visits to those agencies, and then the agencies come in one at a time to their panel leaders, and we have about an hour conversation to ask hard questions and again make sure, what did you do with the dollars last year? What are you going to do with the dollars you're requesting? Because in 2022, this process was asking about 2023. This is their funding for 2023. So that process takes about 6 weeks, and it's rigorous, and it has to be, because we as United Way, it helps us make sure we try to stay on top of what our agency are doing all the time, but it really brings us up to speed again about what they're doing, what their needs are, what their challenges are. And so help us to try to address those with suggestions from the panel leaders and panel members, but also they come away with recommendations. Next year when we see you, we'd like to make sure you're working on these few things that we see as opportunities for improving your agency's performance and how you are responding to the needs in our community. At the end of that process, the recommendations for funding and also those tangible recommendations for the agencies go to a next layer of oversight is our strategic funding group. And they look at the individual recommendations for each agency's funding for the next year, which is 2023 for us. And then they can tweak those. Often they do. And then those recommendations go to our board of directors. And our board will hear from those panel leaders. Each of the six panels have two leaders, and they will come and present to the board about, you know, what they've seen through this process. And the board can ask questions about, again, non-related to the financial aspect, but related as well. And then the board will vote. And so that's how we determine what we need to raise for our agencies for the next year. That's part of how we set our goal. The other part of certainly is our central service budget, the cost of doing business. And then we always hope, and we've been able to for at least over 15 years, be able to give out additional grants as well. So all of that's determined based on that process. And before that process, we have our audit.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, once that is done, it's time for us to start preparing for the campaign. And honestly, the campaign marketing strategizing starts in early January as well. That's more volunteers that help us with that. We've got some of the most creative people that come and help us this year. Willy Wonka's our theme.
Right.
And, you know, we love to have fun with the theme, but it always has to have a really relevant, serious component. And so our slogan is, "So shines a good deed in a weary world." That's one of the last lines that Willy says to Charlie Bucket as he hands back that gobstopper that could have made Charlie millions, but he did the right thing.
Yeah.
How relevant is that slogan? You know, the good deeds are what our community does every day in not only supporting United Way, but supporting the important challenges and the people who are most vulnerable. So our community is just, and you report on it so well, the good deeds that are going on in our community. But the weary world, I think, really resonates right now. And looking at the past 3 years, a tornado and flooding and a pandemic that just doesn't want to go away. And now all the financial challenges that every person's experiencing.
Sure.
You know, escalating costs. And then what the businesses are going through with supply chain issues and staffing issues. And so we all have our own personal challenges. But, you know, again, as our community is so good at doing, looking beyond ourselves, being part of something bigger. And so through the campaign now, we start out with our pay setters. Mm-hmm. They start basically middle of July. And we have 30 businesses, as well as United Way agencies and United Way staff, are one pay setter. And they jumpstart the campaign for us. And they do all the fun things that you've been reporting on. And, you know, we had a dunk tank at Citro Bank the other day at Modern Litho. They pooled their money and they had some of their managers dress up as an Oompa Loompa. There's just been a lot of fun things going on, because why not have some fun and build that teamwork and camaraderie and enjoy your colleagues. So the pay setters will wrap up this week, actually. Mm-hmm. And then on August 31st, we will have our campaign launch, which is the end of the pay setter campaign. We'll honor them, recognize them, and then we will hand the baton to the rest of the community. And that's for September and October.
Okay. So now what is the goal then for the
campaign? The goal is $2.3 million, and that's $100,000 up from last year.
Okay.
And again, we look at what our financial commitments are, and we set it based on that. Mm-hmm. So that will cover our financial commitments, but certainly we are holding the bar high and hoping that we can exceed that. And again, that's asking people to really kind of look at how we can take care of our neighbors, because everyone's experiencing their own challenges.
Sure, sure. So how long will the campaign then be for the rest of the community?
So it's September and October, and we wrap up the end of October, and then we'll have our victory celebration November 3rd. Missouri Farm Bureau hosts that for us as a breakfast. We will announce the projected campaign total. It's always projected in that there'll be a few businesses that are still finalizing their campaign. Mm-hmm. And for those, we just take a conservative estimate of what they've done in the past and make sure we don't overproject. But love to wrap up right before Thanksgiving. It's so appropriate. Being thankful for our community and thanking them at that time of the year when thankfulness is top of mind.
Yeah. Well, and it's always amazing just the generosity of the community. It is truly a very giving community, and it's just a great celebration that's set up right before Thanksgiving. You're right. As you've talked to these partner agencies, what do you believe is the biggest need that's in the community? I mean, that's the genesis behind all this, right? Is these ministries are trying to meet the unmet needs in the community. So what are you hearing?
Well, I think a couple things. We know mental health challenges are escalating due to all of the things going on in the world. So trying to help address those, because of that, you know, people that are experiencing mental health challenges certainly have other challenges that come out of that. Could be homelessness, could be family strife, could be, and you know, how that ripple effect of all that. So definitely mental health and trying to help look at that. We have what we as United Way are kind of really trying to work on and putting some funding behind that we feel like and other United Ways are using as their mental health initiative is called conscious discipline. Hmm. That is a way that children learn to self-regulate. We found out about this program through a lot of different sources. One was Southwest Early Childhood here in our community was using it, but also one of our colleagues, United Way and St. Joseph, was using it. It's a way children learn to self-regulate. So it's a way of speaking to the kids. It's a way of handling when they are having a little bit of a challenge. It's how they calm themselves down, how they deal with the other kids, how they deal with the teachers, and how teachers deal with them. So it's a whole language in and of itself. And so what we're seeing, and so our not only our own three partners, Special Learning Center, YMCA, Early Childhood Center, and Little Explorers are using it, but we also have an early childhood initiative that brings in any early childhood center that wants to be a part of it. But we have a core group that's been together for a long time and more coming on, because not only just with the conscious discipline piece, but also early childhood providers, we're seeing a lot of them closing. We're seeing they're having a hard time retaining staff. But what we've seen with conscious discipline, it's helping them to retain staff because the behaviors are decreasing substantially. And so the other piece of that is making sure parents are speaking the language too. So we are providing classes. United Way funding is going to classes for parents can attend, early childhood providers can attend. And it's trained by a conscious discipline certified instructor. So it's a program that it is not an inexpensive program, but we are seeing and hearing amazing results. And so we believe in it enough that now we've put some money towards a pilot program to go into the elementary schools. There's a handful of elementary schools in the Jeff City Public School District that are implementing it. So we're excited about that as one of a very important place to put more attention and more funding. So that's one thing. The other thing, of course, is housing and affordable housing and homelessness, which are obviously very intertwined. I get to be on, it's called the Capital City Housing Task Force, looking at affordable housing and trying to just, again, United Way is just one of the many entities. Habitat actually wrote for a grant for it. And this was conversation we were having around the Long-Term Recovery Committee table, which is still meeting after the disaster, and trying to figure out how we as a community can come together and try to figure that out. We're seeing that as another huge thing that we need to be working on. Another thing that we're working on as a community is, it's called HealthTran, and it's transportation to healthcare in the rural communities. It's kind of like Uber for healthcare.
Right.
And
right.
So we started this conversation, believe it or not, again, before the tornado, and had a pilot all in place, and then the tornado happened, and we thought we would get it done in 2020, and then, of course, that couldn't happen. So again, that's another thing that we are, an initiative that we feel very strongly needs to happen, and we're fingers crossed here in the next 6 months, we hope to get a pilot off the ground.
So what would that pilot look like?
We would be in Cole, Manitow, Osage, and Marys County. And so basically, it would be with the major healthcare providers. So say I have an appointment with a doctor, and I have a follow-up appointment in a month. When I'm checking out at that clinic, or I'm being dismissed from the hospital, they will ask, do you need a ride for your next appointment? And there is an elaborate platform portal behind this that the good news is, because it's taken us a while to get off the ground, that platform has really, they found a new platform that really is amazing, and it's very turnkey. And so at that time, a volunteer would be scheduled, the ride would be scheduled, and that individual would have a ride for their next appointment. Because what we were seeing, and again, we heard about this in our last health needs assessment, people were, especially a lot of seniors, would have a health need, but they didn't have a ride. So that health need would just go unattended, and then it ended up being an emergent need, and you know, have to call an ambulance. So this is getting people to their healthcare appointments. So it's a win-win for the individual. It's a win-win for our healthcare providers, so that people aren't waiting until it's emergent, but also they're keeping their appointments.
Yeah. Okay. So what are some of the biggest challenges? Again, we're right in the middle of your fundraising. So what are some of the biggest challenges as you undertake a campaign like this?
Staffing probably is one of the biggest, because our partners are having challenges with keeping fully staffed, also having staff in their offices. So taking the time to run a campaign, it takes time. It takes staff energy and staff capacity. So we understand it's a big ask on top of everything else. I had a 6 o'clock rally to present the campaign at Modine this morning.
And 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Oh,
so, you know, when they were beginning their third shift, but you know, I was visiting with Chris Ingram, who is their champion. He came to us, our community, from California. He led, it wasn't with a Modine there, it was another manufacturer. This is his 15th year leading a United Way campaign within his organization. Those are the kind of amazing people I get to meet. He's wearing three hats right now. His their HR person had left and retired, and Sherry had amazing years of United Way support and leadership, but they have had a hard time filling her position. And so not only United Way work, but just all the things that HR does. So he was sharing with me, again, not complaining at all, smile on his face the whole time, but he said, it's going to look a little different this year because this, and this. But you know, that staffing, we understand it's a big ask anyway, because we really believe if a business can allow us 30 minutes to come in, bring an agency, tell a story, help keep United Way relevant,
and
help them understand what United Way is really doing in the community and why we need their help. And again, it's not always financial. It's also asking people to step forward and volunteer when they can. And then thirdly, to help them share what resources are out there that United Way and our agency partners are providing in the community. So many times people come up after one of those rallies and say, I did not know that was available in our community. I didn't know there was an agency that provides durable medical equipment to keep someone in their home.
Yeah.
I did not know that there is a crisis stabilization center just open in our community. All those things that helping people to be the messengers and help bring the message to people who need the resources too.
Yeah, we had a story last week about one of those gatherings, and I think it was Angela Hirsch at Rex was there talking about the work that they do. And I think it does. It really helps to have, whether it's her or another agency, you really get a sense of what that money is being spent on, how it's being used, and why the work is so important.
You bet. You know, asking for that 30 minutes is a big ask always, but even now, especially when everyone is taxed for their time, they just have more on their plate than they can do to take out time out of the day is a big ask. So we see that as a challenge. And then also that more and more are working remotely and they're not coming into offices. And so having even a virtual meeting is a great plan B, but I see that as one of the biggest challenges, keeping United Way relevant, being able to spread the word. And that's what you help us with so much because, you know, again, why do we need the community's help? It's up to all of us to take care of our community, but it's easy to get, you know, we all are working hard. We have families, we have our own things going on. And so just taking a moment to hear, as you said, about the needs in the community. And I think we talk a lot about 130,000 people is the number that we helped United Way and our partner agencies helped last year. And that comes out to almost one out of two. And so we talk a lot about, you may not know it, but you probably know someone who has receive services and you never know. You never know when you're going to be one of those people who might need some help. And it's up to all of us to help keep our community strong with this safety net of services. And so, you know, and be able to thank people. It's so important for to the United Way to be able to thank our community and let them know how grateful we are for how selfless they are.
Sure, sure. You know, it strikes me. I mean, you're obviously driven, you and the staff are driven by this desire to help the community. What is the biggest opportunity the community have? If you had the resources, if you got that golden ticket, using our Willy Wonka theme here. If you got that golden ticket, what's the thing? I mean, certainly not to diminish what the needs that are going to be met by this campaign, speaking confidently, but what's beyond that? What's the biggest need that you see that, you know, if someone came forward and could just meet, what is it?
The homelessness is probably the biggest thing right now that's top of mind for all of us and how to address that. You know, the Homeless Task Force is doing a great job in our community bringing awareness. Salvation Army, our partner agency, they work with homeless individuals every day. But how do we help those who are homeless find shelter? Temporary shelter. Our shelter at the Salvation Army is only 31 bed. Mm-hmm. And it's an important 31 beds, but there's need for more. And then providing those important resources for them day in and day out, because a laundry facility, showers, just, you know, really basic needs, food, of course. But there's been some talk about a drop-in shelter during the day and what could that look like? And the guys at the Salvation Army probably looked at me like, really? Because they have a gymnasium there, but they use it for the church and it's used, but, you know, trying to find if there is an existing facility that could help people that need help and want help. It has to be safe. Yeah. And so there has to be guidelines. You know, that's speaking from my friends from the Salvation Army. You know, all of our agencies teach me so much. I don't work on the front lines like they do, but they help me understand what the needs really are and the guidelines, the barriers and the challenges along with it. But that's really top of mind. The other thing, I just came from a campaign rally at the Chamber and talking about, again, all working together and making sure the Chamber's working with this early childhood initiative that they're working with us, we're working with them, and businesses are getting together and talking about what that look like and making sure we're thinking outside the box and all working together. Luke Holtschneider mentioned, what could more of those things look like? And I said, absolutely. I think slowing down long enough to think creatively, I would say, is probably one of my wishes for myself sometimes, right? You know, because sometimes there's some obvious partnerships right there in front of you. And that's why our community is great, because there are such great partnerships. We saw that during the tornado, how we had worked with so many other agencies outside our 28 partners through our community grants and just different things. But I think we worked, the agencies and faith-based groups realized none of us can do it by ourselves. And so how can we all capitalize on our strengths and make that the best it could be for our community? So I think even outside of disaster, looking at the future and envisioning a stronger, better community, you know, what's United Way's role in partnership with so many other organizations, not just nonprofits.
So for those who are listening that they're still on the fence there, what would you tell them as to how they can help?
If you have a little extra money, it doesn't have to be a lot. A lot of people think that our campaign, that $2.3 million, would be raised from big corporate gifts. About 65% to 70% of our campaign is raised through individuals giving. That's why businesses allowing us to allow an employee to give $1 a paycheck or $5 a paycheck. I mean, that's how we raised over $2.2 million last year. Mm. So don't think that your $5 or your $10 is not going to make a difference. And I think we all have a responsibility to this community. It's an investment in our community. And an investment in a strong community is good for us personally. It's good for our families. It's good for our future. Mm-hmm. It's good for our children and our grandchildren, who we want them to stay here and be part of this community. And so people come on hard times. It could be a family that brings a baby into the world that has special needs. It could be someone who has mental health challenges. It could be someone who needs a safe place to go after school. And so all the needs are different, but I think we all have a responsibility to try to help in whatever way that could be. And again, it doesn't have to be thousands and thousands of dollars, but if you have that capacity and you want to help, giving to the United Way will allow us, through all those volunteers who are helping us do the heavy lifting and those agencies on the front lines, that's who's doing the important work. And we're just a small little piece of it, but we're passionate about it, that's for sure.
Sure. So if someone does want to give, obviously if their company is participating in the campaign, they can do it through payroll deduction. But what about those who may be listening that they're either retired or just self-employed? How can they contribute to United Way?
Thank you. So there is, on our website, unitedwaycemo.org, there is a way you can go in and donate with a credit card. And that's very easy. It seems to be more and more people like to do it that way. Of course, they can write a check and mail it to 205 Alameda, drop it by 205 Alameda, or call our office and we'll stop by and pick it up.
All right.
I didn't mention, and the other thing we do on the insert that the News Tribune does, our Live United publication that you do quarterly for us, we always have a cutout in there. It's like a cutout pledge. They can fill out and mail in their pledge with that as well. So a lot of different opportunities. And I would also extend an invitation to those business leaders that are listening that maybe find that they have not had an opportunity to maybe allow their employees to consider giving through payroll deduct. Or one-time gift is obviously, but we can reach so many more people through our business partners that allow us that opportunity, and that's a way to be efficient in getting the word out. So if there's business leaders out there that would consider, give our United Way office a call and let's talk about it. And we understand that it's a big ask, but I think we hear a lot of times that business leaders will say, I really didn't think our employees would be interested. But we've had, we have one in particular, my friend Tom from Three Rivers, probably 6 or 7 years ago, he said, I don't really think our employees are interested, but you can come out. They had a 65% participation the first year. And wow. I think, again, it's in a way that we can touch the hearts of people in our community through our business partners.
Yeah. Well, Ann, thank you for yourself and your staff for the great work you are doing in the community. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And again, thank you to the News Tribune for the amazing work you do.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.